Yo, what is popping, everybody? We got Miss China Doll up in the building, and we got me as well, Mike Ball, coming in hot. Today's a little bit different, guys. We got the Professional Monkeys exclusive interview, but check it out. We've got China Doll here. What's going on here?
Hey, surprise! No, there is no Hollywood tonight because Mr. Hollywood is suffering from extreme pain due to a nice 3-millimeter kidney stone trying to pass through his little old bladder right now.
Oh, boy.
So, oh boy. He is drugged up and asleep. So, I decided, he told me the show must go on. So, here I am.
I like that. He's drugged up as we speak. So, is he even conscious or is he just totally out right now?
Now, right now, he's actually been totally out for like an hour. dead out.
So he drove himself to the emergency room.
He did at like 2 o'clock this morning. He took himself to the emergency room, was there till about 6 a.m. And he's a non-narcotic kind of guy. So I gave him something called Toradol for the pain. I guess they had to give him a double dose. And yeah, so he is, if the show is going to go on tomorrow morning, then he needed to get his rest tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, 3 millimeters or whatever that size. I mean, that's the surgical size for sure. Where they
it is. They want him to try and pass it on his own.
Of so course, they're going to try to make. They want to see if you can pass it on your own. But if it gets too bad, you know, all of a sudden they're going to go in.
If it's stuck, then we'll see what happens.
Exactly. If it gets stuck, then now what? You know, it's time to go in.
So until then. Yeah, you guys get me tonight. Yay.
So let's go ahead and, you know, we got China Doll up in the building. Absolutely. So we also have a very, very special guest, Professional Monkey. So check it out. I have been watching Professional Monkey since, you know, he was personally at probably about 25K, 30,000, you know, subscribers when I had first come across him. And, you know, just naturally being in this niche in this scene, I've, you know, kept a close eye on him. And I've had a lot of, you know, I'm a big fan of what he does. He's not only very entertaining, but there's a lot of value to get out of what he does. You know, he can, you know, whether it's just him showing how to swap out handlebars, there's value in that. You know, not everyone can just swap out handlebars. Swapping cables, doing a whole bunch of stuff. It's adding different risers, all these different things that not everybody's going to understand right away, you know? So they can actually refer to his videos to do some of these things. So, but let's bring in our special guest. We got Professional Monkey up in the building. Let's get him. Boom. What's going
on? And there he is. You can't describe my channel like the way you just did. Like that.
Yeah, man.
I've said a billion times, if you come to my channel to learn something, you got big problems in life.
Hey, you know, there's been a couple of times, you know, I love that you're so transparent about when you go and you do something, you're like, listen, guys, sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm just trying to get through, you know, and let's see, and let's just hope it works. And then that's kind of the cool thing is not everyone is willing to like show that side. You know, everyone wants to look completely professional all the time, like everything's dialed in, but you're like, hey man, I'm willing to give it my best shot, you know? And that's what I really like about it. You know, not everyone's got the balls to do it.
I would like to see, first off, I hope Hollywood feels better. We talked about this before I was on, so not like I was ignoring the fact that Hollywood's like laid
that's
up
right.
in pain. So I hope he feels better. I love the name of the drug is on is Toradol, because there's a joke somewhere about how he's got it like, take that shit, it tore it all. You know, like, there's a joke there somewhere. I'm sorry, the man's hurting. But
that's all right. I've been making fun of him all day, talking about how, come on, love. I gave birth to a child.
When you're suffering and your wife makes fun of you, that's when things are good. You know, like,
I know. I'm like, dude, I gave birth. What's your problem?
it's the same experience. Deal with it. You know, in 3 millimeters. Come on, I look, 7 pounds.
I'm like, I looked at him. I'm like, suck it up, Buttercup. Come on. Go ahead, go to bed. I got this.
That's rude.
Go to bed so we can have one a show in the morning.
One of the things that the reason why I enjoyed when the channel got started, people started like actually watching it, and it I don't blew up, it's not right, but got bigger. I enjoyed it because I feel like the working on your bike art and how you feel better as a person, it helps you untie knots by taking your stuff apart, put it back together. I feel like I saw that in decline. Like just more and more dealers are doing everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you're I hate the whole you're not a real biker thing.
I hate that crap too. I'm with you on that.
I hate that. When you're not a real biker is when you say shit like not a real biker. Like that's like that's you know.
Facts. But
fewer and fewer people are working on their bikes, and I think that's probably because they want you to be afraid to get your hands on it, and they're just Legos.
Yep,
they really are. And I'm not talking cracking engine cases because I'm not doing that, but right. Upgrades and changes and wheels and exhausts and even tuning now, because that's kind of like all basic stuff. I'm not saying do your own stage two, but I've done body swaps and wheels and audio and lighting and all kinds of stuff, and it's just like, well, you're not going to screw it up for somebody knows better. If you get stuck, somebody can come help you. So just get in there, man. At $150 an hour, shit, figure it out.
Were you doing that prior to you filming and doing all this YouTube stuff like you do, or were you already doing that stuff, and then it was kind of like, oh, might as well start filming it kind of thing? Or was it more like, hey, I want to start doing more of these type of things because I am now YouTuber?
The answer is yes to all of it. So I started, right, honestly, when I was a kid, my dad always rode Harleys. Mm-hmm. And back in the day when you went to the cement block dealership that was big enough for three bikes to be in the showroom, if you ordered a part, I remember we'd go pick it up. Ralph would call from Doc Harley in St. Louis and tell my old man, oh, that chrome battery cover came in. And then you go to the cement block building and walk in, and Ralph would be sitting behind the counter smoking a cigarette going, yeah, it's over there. That shit, figure it out. And you go over there, and there was a pile of parts, and you dug through all the parts that were like shrink wrapped to the orange and white cardboard.
Wow.
That the old. And then you found, okay, here's the battery cover. Whatever. So we go home, and my dad would go, now put it on. A, because he worked 6 days a week, 12-hour days every day, and because he wanted me to learn how to turn a screwdriver. So it started with that, putting little bolt-ons on his bikes. And then because I couldn't afford to pay someone to do something. I could scrape pennies to buy the part, but I couldn't afford to pay someone to put it on. I'm still right. Growing up, building a career. And then when the channel started, it raised at a level because you started having companies say, hey, we want to give you this whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but I still got to pay $700 to have it installed. Nah, I ain't doing that. I'll do it myself. And so that really is where, so it's all the above,
Right. No, it's awesome. That's radical to hear. And you did actually have a little bit of a blow up as well. Handful of years since I've watched you, two and a half years, something like that, and I watched you go from your first, I think your whether it was I think it was Sturges, and then I've watched you every year since that you've done the Sturges, every time you've gone, and that kind of stuff right there, I really really enjoy that kind of content as well. Not just you also building on the bikes and you in the garage. That right there is amazing content because you're funny as hell, dude, by the way. You should be a stand-up comedian. You are fantastic. But then you have the aspect of you out there riding, you doing your stuff and actually making the trek or whatever. And then guiding people on like, hey, they stay here or maybe go through and go and check this out because you have been going for so many years. I do believe that you have been going ever since you were a kid with your father, right?
Yeah, 1990.
Yeah, see, that's
my first Sturges. Yeah.
That's pretty radical. Before I was born.
Yeah. And I was a teenager. My birthday is always the week of Sturges. So my mom, I found this out later, but my mom forced my dad to take me to like keep an eye on him. Like I would keep an eye on him. You know what I mean? Like that was her plan, was like, you can go to Sturgis, but you have to take TJ, you know, so that you can, so that,
that
you know,
is funny.
So that way I know you won't do anything too stupid because you've got our boy with it. And because, but she, I don't know why, you know, I guess she always thought maybe dad was wilder than he was, but reality is, you know, he was always one step ahead of getting in serious trouble or something going wrong. You know, he had a good time, but he was always under control. He's a Marine. Things were always under control, you know, like, so we had a blast. I mean, he had a Sportster, man. I grew up on the back of a 1200 Sporty.
Wow.
And we rode hundreds of miles a day in the Black Hills on a Sportster, and got caught up by Rushmore, which isn't that high up, now that I think of it. But for example, one year, the Black Hills, the weather can go from 105 to 50. It's amazing. Like you can get all the seasons in one day up there. It can hail and then hot and then cold and then snow. It has snowed during the rally before. So we rode in ice water down from Rushmore, and it just, those memories just crack me up still. The shit that we did that I was a kid, and it was a lot of fun. So I've seen it change over the years. I get a lot of comments that are not real positive where they say like, it's too corporate and it's sold out. And even Hollywood's talking about, right. He hates big.
Yes.
He's and not I, wrong.
And
not
I personally, wrong. I personally am that way too, but not just because of it being all corporate. But the thing is I come from more of a club background than I do, you know, like let's say rally. Right. So for me, it's really hard for me to ride along other people, you know, even if it's staggered. Yeah. For me, it's very hard to trust anybody, you know. I need to like know that you ride like that, you know.
And know that they don't.
And I know they don't. They so don't. That's why I kind of stick away. That's why I stick away from it, because I just don't want to get myself caught up. I don't want to get upset or angry, you know what I mean? I don't want to have some problems.
And that's one of the reasons why Hollywood and I have never gone to Sturgis, is because one, he's all about the is corporate. It's not like the old school biker rallies, you know, with him growing up through the MC life and whatnot. So, and the same thing, Mikey, he don't like riding with people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's scary. He's got to have ridden with them drinking and stuff. And, you know,
he's got to have ridden with you before in order to get into a pack. Yeah. If he don't know how you ride, he ain't gonna,
the good thing is you don't have to end up anybody's pack. Like you can always just go, all right, this guy's a freaking schmuck, and I pull back. All right, you go ahead. Or come on, let's be honest, blast past him, you know, like, you know, and get out ahead of him.
Hollywood stays in the back.
Yeah, I would stay all the way back there.
Those that hate that sort of environment, right? You ain't wrong. Go the week before.
Right.
And that's what I told them too. Yeah, some of the vendors are there. You'll see some stuff, but it's the, there's like a 16th as many people up there the week before.
Right.
So you can run the Black Hills all day and you'll see other bikes, but you're not going to get caught up in them. You're not going to think. And it's just, it's awesome. Now there's a lot of money being spent on the rally and all that stuff's true, but, and maybe it's from seeing it from 30 plus years ago, but I still had this sort of romantic vision of it. And so I could see past all that.
All that crap because of almost probably the nostalgia as well and the memories built as well. And that's something that you can't knock anybody on. You know, is it very expensive to get I don't know the ticket prices, let's just say, of like something like Sturgis, right? So
making
the trek just to get there obviously is going to be expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So then you spend this money to get there, and now how much are you spending to get into the actual event/rally? You know,
if you want to shit your pants, I'll tell you what my annual budget is for Sturgis.
Oh boy, here we go. An annual. So just to make the trip to once a year.
Every year. Now you pay through it for it throughout the year. Like you buy your passes in advance. The only thing you're like, you're going to eat it while you're there is the fuel up there and back. And that I put on a credit card and I pay it off when I get home. Like I stagger this shit.
Smart.
So I can try. Right. And it's between $8,000 and $9,000.
Holy crap.
You definitely got to have it.
Now $3,000 of that is diesel alone just to go the 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, cause I get like 8 miles a gallon pulling my rig, you know? So your RV space, if you have an RV, is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in a hotel, though, unless you're staying in a flea bag, which ain't nothing wrong with that, but even a flea bag is going to cost you $180 a night, you know, like, and a decent hotel that's normally 150 a night is now 400 a night.
Yeah, they skyrocket that.
So it's like, it's just it. But I tell you what, as bad as it is, I've been going for a long time and only been during the channel the last 3 years. So like I spend it. I'm like, that's just, I told my buddy, I told my buddy Tom, who went for the first time this last year. He's like, well, I just want to go the once. I have to experience it, et cetera. I go, bullshit. You're going to go every year until you die. Once you go, like you're going to go every year. You're going to want to go once you experience it. And while we're up there, his wife flew in and she was like, I'll let you indulge it this 1 year that you're going to go to Sturgis and, you know, we deserve this, et cetera, et cetera. His wife's awesome. But the last day we left, we're on the road. We left the same day. And all of a sudden I get a text. I booked for next year already. So while we were there, he put the deposit on his RV spot again. Cause he was like, yeah, I mean, all the pain.
He just knew. He just knew, right? Yeah. Right. He was just going to go back.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It is on my bucket list. I want to get him to take me, but we will be tenting. We will tent.
Yeah, you'll tent that. You're not
going to. We're not going to spend that kind of money for like a hotel and all that. No, we'd rather
do it. And if you tent at Glencoe, you can find some shade. That's the problem with Sturgis and tenting. There's no shade. There's like,
yeah, that's the hardest part.
Yeah. But at Glencoe, there's some areas that there is some trees. You can actually find some shade.
And I'm not going to lie. I was watching some of your your clips before we came on. Actually, like an hour ago, I was watching them. And you were doing the Dyna with the handlebars. Do you know how tempted I was to go out in the garage and just start taking handlebars off of Hollywood's bikes?
Like, please don't do that because I
don't do that. I do not advise to do that.
It's so easy. I want to try it.
I'm going to get a text tomorrow. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, right.
My handlebars are on the ground in the garage. What did you do?
Like it didn't go well.
I got them off, but I don't know what to do next because you don't have extra handlebars to change.
That's not a fair video because that bike I bought where the previous owner had taken those bars off, put some little Sportster bars on it, and he had like wound them up. So all the cables were the right length already. Right.
You know, they were.
That was That was not a fair like handlebar install.
Everything because usually you got to usually change cables. You got to do the whole swap.
Yeah, I paid close attention to that video because he even described the fact that, look, all the cable is still here.
Put them in there. And I was like, oh, I did that. I did that whole bar swap in probably 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that was me like dropping screws and go get a drink and you know what I mean, like that kind of like sloppiness. Maybe an hour and a half.
I noticed you had to change that cover on it too because you said you kept hitting your leg on it.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to be any better, but and actually after the fact, I realized it's sitting on the shelf. I have an old SNS Super that'll fit it, and that's going to be even bigger. So you got that point where you go like, well, it's even less practical, but God, it'll look cool.
Yes.
You
know, like,
I like the seat that was on it, though, by the way.
Oh, you should. I put a La Para Cobra on it, like a 70s style bench, crazy looking. I haven't even done a video about that, but that seat's going to be cool that I just put on it. So
you go from doing all of this, like rally stuff and all of this, and now your channel is a lot, not only just builds, but you know, you did Sugar Bear, which was absolutely amazing. And then now you're going on to this next project of another chopper build, or is it like a Vikla build, or have you decided, or what is it that you're going on to do next?
Well, I was shocked and horrified that I got a spot in the Smokeout 2024 Biker Build Off.
That's a big deal.
And that is, as my old man put it, he's like, oh man, getting the spot's the prize.
Yes.
And who cares from there, right? But when they first said they were going to do it, I'm like, oh yeah, I want a spot. And I, you know, you don't think about this shit. And then when they started doing the announcements, they're showing all the people that have been selected and their bikes. I was like, oh no.
There's some serious competition here.
Yeah. Right? Badass FXRs and choppers and everything. And then they got to 24. And I hadn't been named, and I was like, whoo, I swear to God, I was like, thank God, I can just build a bike and then not be a part of it. I can just show up and go like, yeah, it's this piece of shit I built. You know, like it's not. And then they said that they had one more person, but the name was wrong on the slide, so they skipped it. And they went on.
That's probably you.
It was me. Like, they went back and they were like, and here's number what, spot 19 or whatever the hell it was. And they were like, professional monkey. I guess what they had done is they had put my real name on the slide and skipped it and wanted to go back, which is fine. I wouldn't have cared if they had put whatever. But then I was like, I literally in the side chat live when it is said, I would like to withdraw from the competition. Like, I, you know, I'm like, these guys, I ain't going like, up against no. So what I want to do is.
He's out builded. He hasn't even gone yet.
I like win it.
I think you can keep up. Like, I think you could keep up.
I, you know, they're going to do the first narrow. They're going to go from 24 to 12 just off social media. And I'm going to push it real hard. Not for me. Literally. I just want like them. I want them to have stupid amounts of votes. Like get on this website, participate.
He's going
to
be voting for everybody but himself.
The funny thing in the side chat, like Shelton is a buddy of mine from South Dakota. I already said, like, I vote for Shelton. And Shelton goes, I vote for Monkey. I'm like, well, yeah. That doesn't work. We just cancel each other out then. We got to, like.
So. That's right. You're canceling each other out at that point. You need to team up here. Yeah.
So as far as what I'm going to build, I have options. I have a 2019 CVO Road Glide that's out of commission. Like, brakes from the front are shot.
Right.
The body is off of it. You know, so I could start over and rebuild that 19 CVO as a new. I hate the word bagger, but bagger because they're dressers, right? They've been dressers.
They're dressers, but then why they changed the name?
They changed it, yeah, because Hollywood always calls his a bagger.
It's but I guarantee he's like, I don't know why we changed the names of things. No, it's not a backrest. It's a sissy bar.
I know that he would say the exact same thing because he's going to be like, yeah, we used to call them dressers. Now all of a sudden we call them baggers. You know.
He still calls them sissy bars.
It is a sissy bar.
Are you getting these motorcycles from, like, let's say, like Facebook OfferUp, Facebook Marketplace? Are you finding these like at Copart, you know, like places that you can like actually restore, you know, stuff like that that were like being auctioned off? Like, how do you do it?
The first bike that I went to and bought like off of Facebook Marketplace was the Dyna.
Oh, really? Wow.
Got. Yeah. So the 19 CVO I bought brand new. And that's the one that was my wife's bike. And then we built it for Sturgis and she won Working Man's, which is funny, Working Woman's. And then got home from Sturgis and was going to rebuild that later on anyway and pulled it out of my RV and had no front brakes. Like I had like two clutches. You know what I mean? Like they both went all the way. So I've got something going on with no front brakes. I rode it home with just the rears, which is chopper shit. Who gives a shit?
Rode it home. Yeah, you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I rode it home and then just tore it down because we're starting it. So it's just sitting there like with nothing on it. So I could do that. I could start over with CVO or I could build another chopper, which is what I want to do.
Mm.
The problem is, you know, this is not a sponsored build.
Right. Here we go. Now money comes involved.
Yeah.
It's on me. Not to say that there aren't builders out there in this that are going to get sponsored. There ain't a damn thing wrong with that.
Right.
But I if I built the CVO, I could have help with the body, right? That's it. But if I build a chopper, it's 1,000% out of my pockets. So brown sugar would have to get sold because I need that as my budget to build a chopper. I have a line on what I'd love to do if things go the way I want. I have a line on a chopper that was actually hadn't run in 20 years. It was a woman's bike 20 years ago. So what kind of badass chick was she? She passed away. Her name was Natalie. If what kind of badass chick was riding a chopper 20 years ago? Right. Like that. Like that's the kind
that's of awesome.
Yeah. Right. I can only say her first name. Her name was Natalie. She passed away, and her brother and sister found her chopper. They thought she'd sold it years ago, and it was in her garage buried under shit.
Wow.
And so I go and look at this thing, and it is as ugly as you can imagine. 20-year-old. It's purple. Like, not cool purple either. You know, like, it's got, like, a boat tail rear fender. It's kind of really goofy looking. But it's got the baddest ass Evo motor in it.
Oh, see, and you got an Evo in it.
So I want to buy it from them, bring it home, and revive the bike as it is, and then pull the motor out of it and start over again. Like, bring the bike back to life for the brother and sisters. They can hear it run again. Right. And then pull the motor out and start over again with a rigid Springer front.
Well, then you would kind of win in both aspects, you know. The family would be able to hear it, and you'd be able to use it, you know. That's
the goal. So if that works out, the problem is there's this freaking law, man. Like, there's the state and that. They want me to have it. We're trying to figure out how to make that happen. So if that happens, that's what we'll do. Well, I'll have it. Put it this way, this Evo is an SNS lower end. It has TPS heads on it, all kinds of badass go faster parts. And right. We don't even know what size the motor is. There's like, I don't, it doesn't say on it. I'm just looking at this motor, sending pictures to friends, and they're all like, I don't got a damn clue what that is. It could be 130 inch. Like, we have no idea what size this Evo is. But it's got four spark plugs. It's got TPS heads. So it's a hot rod, but we don't know what it is. So
what a trip.
If that works out, then I'm going to start fresh, but use Natalie's motor. And I'm going to try and get it done for sub 10 grand. And that will be, I mean, Sugar will pay for a lot of that, but maybe just, I would like the idea of showing up to smoke out with an unsponsored bike that I built for sub 10 grand, just me and my friends.
That's a flex in itself. You know, whether you win or not, that's not what it's about. I mean, you being able to do your own personal accomplishments, like, hey, I was able to build this chopper for under 10 grand and this is what I was able to make. Boom. You're like, that's sick, in my opinion. Now, to bring it back to the YouTube aspect of what you do. So what year was it that you started YouTube, and what made you decide, like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and actually give this a shot? Like, was there an inspiration behind, like, a YouTuber you were watching, or you saw maybe that there was nobody in that lane and you wanted to take it? What was the inspiration there?
Boredom, isolation, pandemic, can't leave the house, going to lose my shit, da da da.
Yeah.
And I just discovered, you know, motorcycle content on YouTube. I hadn't thought of it. I don't know. I just out of touch. And I watched Baggers and Brews, Bikes and Beards, and just a few other channels. I would watch that pretty regularly. And that was about it, you know, like not much. And then one day I was just, you know, trapped at home, working from home, everything else. And my wife was the one that was like, why don't you go out and tell the story of you going to Sturgis in 1990 as a kid, and maybe do like what you've learned, places to stay, best place to get a drink, best place to eat, that kind of shit, just to entertain yourself. And who gives a shit if anybody watched it?
Right. And, something since you're stuck in the house.
I never thought that it would ever be monetized. I never thought any of that crap. I was just like, I'm just going to go out and do this.
Well, you did it for yourself. You didn't do it for like the bag at the end kind of mentality. You loved the process genuinely.
It was fun. The people who commented, you could tell who I was hoping would watch it. That is those that want to go to Sturgis but have always been intimidated by it because it's far and it's expensive. And I kind of wanted them to see like it can be done though. You can do this. Like, and that worked. And it was fun to talk to all those people. And then I did an install video of something incredibly stupid. It was like the reflectors on my hinges on my bags. Mm-hmm. And while I was recording it, I was like, why isn't that going? That doesn't work. And then all of a sudden I was like, I don't know. I turned it upside down, stuck, and I was like, oh, that's it. It was upside down. Like the whole damn time.
It was upside down.
Upside down. And I just left it in. I didn't change it. And then I just uploaded that way. And people loved that. We're laughing. And that's just where it came from. I never thought it would ever be anything.
Wow.
You never thought it'd blow up like it did?
There's still way bigger channels than mine, you know.
But still, there's not very many.
I'm starting at nothing and where you're at now.
Yeah, it's fun. I think when people always ask, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? Da, 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 I go, don't just do it for you. Otherwise, you don't have a chance of being successful. I see channels that are brand new. I mean, like, their first, because I watched lots of motorcycle content now, brand new channels. And the very first video, I felt like they're selling to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, look at this thing. I got this thing at the dealer. The reason you need this thing, and it's a commercial they have filmed for a company they're not.
I know.
Or you're not getting a kickback from that company.
And they get, or they get like average 50 views and still. Though you could tell the goal of the channel is to get free shit.
Yes. It's money.
Driving for someone to give them this thing or whatever. And I'm like, no one likes that. That's not.
Right. No, you're very right. I think it is too focused. Like, if you're going to focus, you know, at the end, you want to do this or jump into anything because of money reasons, trust me, you're not going to last, because you're not going to stand the test of times to get to that point. You know, personally, I've been a content creator and streamer for 15 years, and it's still something that I still struggle with. It's something that I still deal with. And I didn't start on YouTube. I started on multiple different platforms before YouTube even had the streaming capability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So a lot of people, you know, if you're doing it, if I did it just for money reasons, I would have quit a long time ago, because it's been a lot of self-investment. It's been a lot more me spending my time, my money, my energy. So I can also relate to that you're doing it for yourself, which is great. You know, and good on you for making it to where you have. I mean, that's a fantastic audience you have. And seems like everyone that watches you is extremely supportive. You get a lot of love from the community. It's not, you know, there's usually content creators that get like, I don't know, 50-50 hate, you know, kind of ordeal. And that's normal online. That's internet shit for you. But I got to be real with your audience. They seem very, very tight with you. And there must be something that you're doing, you know, that definitely keeps them, you know, feeling like a family rather than like a distant fan or something like that.
I think, and not, you know, talking shit, because that's another thing I don't do. Like, I don't talk shit.
Right.
It's so weird. This whole world is weird, because it's like, I think if people knew how many channels don't like each other, and can't be in the same room with one another. And, like, if they knew how many people can stand each other, but they smile while they're next to each other, you're like, they, you know, I think that the difference is, or one of the differences is, and the same thing you guys got going on too, is that this is not about me. It's about us.
Right.
Facts. Like, it's like, we're going to laugh and have a good time and laugh at each other's mistakes and share stories. And it's all about interaction. I wish I could respond to every single comment. I used to. But it's not physically possible. I have a job, a child, and a marriage, and you know, you gotta, you know. So I get on there and I just go through as much as I possibly can, and then, you know, and I think that's the difference, because I think there's a lot of channels, not all, of course. There's a lot of really good, solid MFers out there, but there's a lot of channels where it's like, look at me and my meanness, and it's about me, and like, you know, like, and that's the difference. It's not about you, dude. It's about whatever community you're building. And if you're not building a community, then that's only going to go so far.
Well, you got to remember, we have, you know, like these phones, right? And everything is like recording me, taking pictures of me, video of me, look how cool I am with this. And then it's all me that's going on to my platform. And then you wonder why everyone's about themselves. You know what I mean? Like, everything is me, 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 me. And so, yeah, you're very right though, because if you're doing it in that regard, you may, you know, fail, but when you're doing it for the betterment of us, or you're providing value to the community, that's different.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I've seen this go around lots of times with a lot of the YouTubers, all the creators. If they all got along, it'd be kind of boring.
It could be fun too, though. Like, if you all,
I think it'd be better if everybody did get along. If all the creators, like all the guys in like Hollywood's, you know, with back when he was doing Biker News, which was like just a month ago.
Yeah, just give that up. You know,
he just stopped doing it. And what it was is there's too many out there now. Yeah, he may have started it.
Yeah.
But now he's passing the torch to other people.
Right.
Because it's, you know, he's got other things he's doing. And, you know, I wish there was never issues between other creators. Unfortunately, you're going to get it no matter what, because one creator is going to be like, well, you're always wrong, or you're doing this, or you. So I'm the better one. Me, 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 me. And it's like, no, that's not how it is.
Yeah, it's true.
You're doing what you're doing because you like doing it. And that's one of the reasons why Hollywood stepped away from doing Biker News, because he no longer liked doing it.
Right. There you go.
It's not
Which
funny.
Is sad.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Which is sad. I mean, because he's been doing it for so long.
Yeah,
but
it's
when
like
you
7 years
or
something.
Are having any enjoyment in it, you got to change it up so you're happy with what you're putting out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and does he still keep in touch with a lot of the other creators? Of course he does. Just not as much as he did in the past, because of the fact that he's got other things going on when he's not behind this computer anymore, because like yourself, he works, you know, he has a job. So he's out doing that. But at the same time, he comes home and he gets right back behind this computer and he's trying to put shows out there.
Yep.
It might not be every day. They're not going to be biker news, but he's trying to change it up and be who he is and not try and be something he's not.
I think you nailed it. The difference to me is that, you know, Hollywood's got a job.
Yeah.
And that, I think, not to say there's anything wrong with making this your job, but it certainly changes things.
Right.
Right. Like I, you know, this house I'm sitting in, YouTube doesn't pay for it. The truck I drive, our life is not paid for by YouTube. As a matter of fact, I probably spend 90% of all that YouTube makes right back on some silly shit that I want for the bike or a camera, or it, you end up blowing all that on something silly. You know,
well, and a lot of times, like with Hollywood, a lot of stuff with Hollywood, he just buy whatever he makes goes right back into the show.
Yeah.
He's buying new microphones. He's getting new sound equipment. He's getting new headphones. He's getting a new computer. So it's like he's putting it right back into the show. And is it enough to live on? Oh, hell no.
Yeah,
no.
And a lot of people, that's where they don't understand. When you start a YouTube channel, number one, you're not going to always be successful. So you just keep trying.
Yep.
You know, you keep going. You might not, it doesn't work this way. Well, go this way. Try a different avenue. You know, and it's kind of sad because a lot of people that I've noticed that are, they're like, well, you guys make it look easy, so I'm going to do it because I'm going to make bank. Okay, people, chill your little thing there. Because
for real. First off, nobody's going to like you with that attitude, so you're not going to make it.
No,
for real. They'll read right through that.
The sad part is there's a lot of creators out there that are like you were saying, and Mikey even said, me, 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 me. Mm-hmm. It's about this. It's about the greenbacks. They want all this money. Well, guess what? You could be doing it for 5 years and not make dime.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about how you put yourself out there, how you put your show out there, which Professional Monkey, you know, your show, I'm highly entertained. I might start tearing shit apart. I'm going to do it. I swear. Hollywood's going to find his in pieces.
Yeah,
in the
So Professional Monkey, you are responsible for.
You need to put out disclaimers for China Doll not to do this at home.
His entire bike is going to be in parts on the floor.
There's two. I got two to take apart. If I get bored, I might take Marco's bike apart because that's in my garage too.
There you go.
Or maybe I might start with his.
You
just
start with
because.
The bike. Yeah, forget
I'm going to start with his because it's there. Why not? I'll test that bike out. I'll put his in pieces on the garage floor. But it's like. I just find it funny that people that jump on YouTube and start a channel, they're like, well, I'm doing it for the money. Well, good luck, dude.
I feel like all that YouTube money. That's Brian the Biker always says, well, I do it with all that YouTube money because it's hilarious. Like, it's not a thing.
People don't realize, you look at all these advertisements that they put on YouTube, they ain't paying out like they used to.
No. Oh, it's going down. Yeah, it's going down over the years.
They don't realize there's more ins and outs than just turning your camera on and uploading it to YouTube or turning your camera on and being live on YouTube. There's way more to the process.
Well, during COVID, they were, you know, the advertisers themselves, they were paying top dollar because
everybody was home.
And everyone that's was why. Watching. Stuff. So they're paying these content creators X amount. And then that's, of course, Professional Monkey. That's right around the time that he kind of came in. And you might kind of get sucked into a certain number idea. And then all of a sudden that changes. And that's YouTube for you. You know,
my experience, like we're one of the holidays, like views are going to drop. Everyone's preoccupied. And that's fine. It's got to keep, you know, trudging on. And if it's not for you, then it's not going to go well. The first time I saw what I thought was sad's a aggressive word, but sad, I guess, was the full-timers, they're chasing sponsorship dollars, right? Because the channel doesn't make a whole lot.
They need
and
it,
I was at an event year before last at Sturgis, and an event that I would never expect to see another channel at, because it was not YouTube channel kind of
type of content.
It was freaking Sturgis drag races, like, right? Like, that's, you know... That's for people who are bikers and obsessed with bikes, and they want to watch a dude on an old shovel head try and race a new Milwaukee 8 Road King. And Like that's it's like it in its purest form.
Right.
That's where you're gonna see gray beards and stuff at, right? Right. So you're
a youngin sitting there doing a whole bunch of film work and all that crap.
It's not it's not the place. So I'm sitting there with a couple of buddies watching the races, having the time of my life, drinking a freaking PBR. And I turn my head and I see two rather large channels there. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, it's cool to see them here. This is old school, legit Sturgis shit. Right. And so I was like, oh, and I'm like, and we didn't really talk, but we were in the same kind of group of people talking and it came out why they were there. They were chasing a sponsor. They weren't even really there. I was so freaking disappointed.
Yeah, they weren't there for what you thought that they were going to be there
for. I was so let down. For a second there, I was like, wow, these people might be cooler than
You'd be like,
anybody seen the such and such tent? Because we're looking for, and I'm like, oh, man, that, you know, like.
Like, that. That's a bummer because you would have probably been like, man, let me get your YouTube channel name, man. Like, you know, but now it's like, oh, you're, you know, going after that. Have fun with it.
That's why they were there. They were there looking to network with sponsors.
It was a motive. Yeah. There's always.
And like, the funny thing is, I'd be willing to bet that sponsor they were chasing is probably like, why don't you look at the races?
Right.
Like,
right. Why don't you go ahead and check that stuff out before you start doing that? Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. They're going to be like, we're here for the races right now. So why don't you go watch, you know, like, anyway.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Gross.
It's very true. And a lot of it, like you said, you know, a lot of these channels, they don't make enough money off of the AdSense, right? So a lot of these guys that try to do it full time, they have no other option but to do that sponsorship deal. And then they see like all these other channels that are doing that. And then unfortunately, it kind of puts like a bad spin on everybody. Now everyone thinks that's what they can go do is go get sponsors, get things for free, or get paid to do something. It's like, well, that's not really how this works.
Trouble here.
Trouble's here. I like, look at that chair.
Oh my goodness, she's got a nice chair.
Hey, do we have the same drink?
Or you're actually talking about the chair. I thought that was Coach or something.
Are we drinking the same
drink? Well, yeah, well. Oh, well. Hey, girl, hey.
if you don't mind. I told her earlier, I'm like, you got to join us. She was like, oh, they don't want to see me. I'm like,
oh, come on. What are you talking about?
You want to hang out?
Yeah, exactly. So, I like that chair. Man, that's a nice chair.
Oh, yeah. This is actually my niece's gaming chair.
Yeah.
Somehow it ended up at our house. I don't know how that happened. So when we do live streams, the wife is always in this, like, pink gaming
chair. Yeah, it's super, super fancy chair there. Very nice.
You know what? Mike's got the idea. You need to put a Mexican blanket over that pink gaming chair. It'll look a lot better that way, right?
That's right.
You mean this is not like biker chic?
Yeah.
Pink gaming
chair?
That's right.
I'm kind of digging it, so it's fine. I don't care what they think. Hollywood is in bed out cold with pain medication due to kidney stones.
Yeah, he got rushed to the ER, you know, because he might surgically need it to get removed.
Yeah.
Oh,
so in order for us to have our channel go in the morning, he said he needed rest and said, here you go, China. And I'm like, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
You should have had you try and dress up like him, like draw a couple tattoos.
I was gonna
on the side and shit, all sharpie it up.
I can get part of it going. Hold on.
Here's the cigarette. Yeah.
Wig.
That is Hollywood right there. Yep.
Actually, he likes to rest his arm
hangers. Got your arm hanging up over the top. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
This is more like Hollywood.
So what are you guys up to?
So just enjoying and having a good time. We were discussing not only the build of the channel all the way around, but also doing like the Sturgis runs, doing the rallies, stuff that I'm actually not into myself, but I'm interested.
Well, since she's in here, I got a question for her.
That's what I wanted to ask her. I was going to ask her the same thing was, you know, doing these Sturgis runs and doing all these different rallies and stuff. I know that you're actually very involved in the actual channel itself, which is amazing. How do you like and enjoy basically being a part of the channel and also doing these rallies and all these things that you get to do? Do you love stuff like this, or is this something that's like just secondary in your life?
No, I love it. I love it. I've been going to Sturgis for 7 years now. Seven years now. So it's been great. And it's one of those things that you go once and you just want to go every year. So we have really worked. We have managed to work the whole family dynamic around it, because it's not easy, because obviously we have everybody, right? You have a full-time job. We have a little one, and trying to work that out. Now we got that darn crazy dog that won't let us live, which he got loose, by the way, but
outside.
Yeah. And he's back. It's fine. But yeah,
it's up chasing him. It's okay. He's fine.
Fine. but no, it's great. It's great. It's great to see, so many, women riders. I know, you know, a rider's a rider, right? But, there's so many women riders from the first time I went to Sturgis to now. I think it's just grown exponentially, and it's just a lot of fun. So, and it's just like all things, whether it's bikes or guns or anything else, if you're going to use it, you got to know how to use it. Mm. So you got to be able to try to take it apart. And, you know, I'm no expert, but, you know, I could manage some exhaust and things like that, you know, on my own.
So you pick up the tools too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I do.
Wow. She goes,
Go,
she lies and says she doesn't know how. Just so bad. Like, I'm just a girl. You do it. She's so full of shit. Like,
yeah.
She's popping spark plugs.
It's fine. It's fine. You got the No. You gotta know. I mean, I don't do a lot of electrical and things like that. But I tell them, I go, you teach since we met, which is going on 30 years now. 50 years.
75 years.
I told him, I need you to, you know, I want to learn. And it's a lot of fun. And there's so
the guy we saw today at Costco needs to learn.
Oh my God.
We saw a dude on a sports shirt today riding through the Costco parking lot with outriggers, like feet down the whole way, right? I'm like, geez. And my daughter goes, that doesn't look right, but why?
Yeah, it doesn't even look right. Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? Like, he's going to lose a foot, first off. Like, you know.
Yeah. But it's awesome. And going to the rallies, everyone's different. Sturgis is different from Daytona, different from Leesburg, completely different from Smokeout, but you go and you make your own experience of it. Yeah. And it's amazing. I wouldn't, you know, trade it for anything. And I just love meeting people. And I think some of the best friends we have are all friends we've met through the channel.
They are.
It's pretty amazing. Wow. We're kind of antisocial on a lot.
We have tons of friends here in the side chat. You know, Tony Satan's Child is here. Neil, who else is here? I'm not going to go.
A bunch of guys.
But it's amazing. These are community works.
These are people we hang out with in real life now.
Right. Like,
it's not just that, you know, we see them at rallies and hang out and make bad choices and stuff together.
Yeah.
And it's a freaking blast. Like,
now, Road Rage, who's one of our people, he says that China and J9 need to build a bike together. And we will record the entire thing.
Yeah, that'll be
entertaining. I mean, I'll hand you the tools. I got spark plugs down, but I don't know how much good I'll be. And I could take handlebars off now.
There you go.
But wait.
From your video.
I can do that shit.
Just from your video alone there. I'm going to be like, wait, I need a reference.
I saw a video. Some guy.
Yes, that guy.
I can.
I'm watching all professional monkeys videos just to figure out how to do stuff on Hollywood's bikes.
I guarantee Hollywood's like, it's fine if you want to, but watch someone else. And then,
maybe
sick pictures
Dude, he came back. The new bars were on. I didn't get to see how he put them on. So that's why yours are on the floor.
It just kind of appears like it's on.
And I know. I'm like, how do you do that fast?
Because I don't plan. There's no plan at all in the video.
It just happens.
You know, like, you can't hold a camera and the bars and tighten the bolts.
I think my favorite line in that video was, yeah, I know, guys, this should not be just hanging here.
But it's gonna, for just a little bit.
Like, I know it shouldn't. No, there's going to be a lot of stuff hanging off his bike in a minute. We're getting off the air. He's out cold on pain meds. I'm going out in the garage. A place where I'm not allowed.
Like, look, choppers don't have front brakes anyway.
It's all rear.
No rear. Yeah. You're fine.
You're good.
There's going to be a tire hanging from the ceiling. I don't know. It's going to be everywhere. And he'll be like, China, what did you do? I'm gonna be like, I was talking to professional monkey.
I learned a lot of that video. Like,
I learned how to take things apart, but they just appeared done. So I don't know how that happened.
So this last week, we went to Leesburg and we're hanging out with one of our buddies. So there's a vendor at every rally called the Fairing Exchange. And what they do is they do painted inner fairings, right? They're right. A big vendor. They do lights and stereos and shit. Yeah. And I just met them like last year and we're pals. And so he said, come and hang out at our booth. You'll have a place to hang out. It's like, all right. So we shoot up to Leesburg. We're hanging out. And two freaking hilarious things happen. This is how, don't learn from me. Like, seriously, right? So,
unless you're working on Mike's bike, it's fine, but not on Hollywood's bike.
Yeah. Mike's a young man. Mike's apart. But I'm there, and they're like, I was going to put a stereo in my Road Glide ST, and he was like, well, I work with that company. Why don't you just let me do it? And I'm like, if you want to, man, go for it. So they tear into my bike right there, and I hear Paul go, there are bolts missing from this motorcycle.
Oh shit!
There were like I had done the inner fairing swap on it, put it all back together. You know, and he's like, "See these holes? There's supposed to be bolts in there."
Yeah,
and
how I'm many like, extra bolts did you leave out? You know,
well, it was complicated. There was a lot involved. I had torn that bike down, and it sat with no body on it for months. And then I reacquired the parts, and so I was putting it back together from memory, nothing to compare to. And evidently, I had missed a couple. And he's like, there's bolts missing. And I go, so put some bolts in there, you son of a bitch. Like, get it done. Like, you know. So thankfully, he, of course, has every bolt you could need. He's putting the bolts back in.
Wow, that means I'm going to have to take the hubcap off my car so I have place for all the extra bolts.
You know what? You're lightening the bike. When they're lighter, they're faster. That's what I
like. There you go.
So faster, faster. So then later on,
you didn't need that headlight. It's fine.
One is fine. Yeah. So she rides from South Florida that day. She blasts up on her bike. And then when she gets there, I'm like, oh man, that front fender. When I heard yellow, her orange bike, the body guy packed it up and shipped it, not a shipping guy. So fender got there tweaked a little bit. Like, it's not like when you buy it and it's back, you know, boxed up.
Yeah, properly. It's got to be
this
like
the painter. No. This is the painter. He had like just wrapped it up and thrown it in a box, and it had ridden on a UPS truck with something sitting on top of it. So when it came out of the box, it was slightly tweaked. So I'm sitting there and I've got it, like, I think good. Like, all right, it's good. She shows up and I happen to glance down, and that fender is dragging on her front tire. Like, it's like there's a line on it. And I'm like, God damn, man. Like, this ain't right. Paul and one of his dudes fixes it in 30 seconds. Like, that it's like, they get down there, loosen it, tweak it up, hold it. It took two dudes. I've only ever had one. Tightens it back down, like, ties it over, like, for a corner, lets it sit, comes back, goes, fixed. I'm like, I told you I suck at this. Like, I told you I suck at this. I'm not kidding. Like,
he charges more the hour.
That's true. But I have friends who really know what they're doing. That's the one thing I can tell you. Have someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Right. I like that. But so I love that you actually, you know, put your all into it. And then you actually try in all aspects. That I got to give respect to that. You know, no matter if you'll be straight up too. I don't know what I'm doing on this aspect, but stick around and let's see if we can do it. You know,
see if we can figure it out together.
Yeah. I like that.
So when are you guys going to join us at Sturgis 1 year? So I'll buy the first round if you guys show up.
Hollywood hates big rallies with China.
I know. I've heard.
Mikey. But me and you will go.
I'm down.
You and I will go. Look, you're in good hands.
No, I'm down. I'll meet you guys there. Let's make it happen.
There you go.
If I could talk him into it, I mean, it is on a bucket list for me to go. Thank you, Mindy. It is on a bucket list. Really want to go. But I got to get him to want to go. That's the thing.
The week before. Yeah.
Well, he's talking about if he does go, he would go the week before instead of the week of.
Right.
Yeah, that's much better.
You know, so maybe it could happen.
Hey, you know what? Gremlin's got a good point. Smokeout would be good for you guys. You like, Smokeout's not huge. It's not corporate.
Like, it's just not.
That's why Hollywood, we went live from Midwest Bike Rail, Midwest Bike Show this year, right here, right up in Wisconsin, which wasn't that far from us. We went there and we did that. And we're doing that again next year. We're doing it again for them because we already were asked back the day we were there to come back because we went live while we were there. We were already asked back to come for that. So,
Do you guys go to Mama Tried?
We go to the Tomahawk Fall Ride every September in Wisconsin, and
Tomahawk.
We love going to Tomahawk because the scenery is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, where was that one that you suggested? Was it back? What was that one that something smoke out?
Smoke out in North Carolina.
Yeah. It's in North Carolina. Okay. So I'm in Southern California, you know. So, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of far.
We're in
Illinois. So I'm a little here. Closer.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in Illinois. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wisconsin. We are
7 minutes from Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're on the border right there. So
we're on the state line. Mm. Okay. Right there.
In Illinois. There's going to be a smoke out west this year. I just saw that. I'm not sure where. I'm guessing California. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
that'd be dope.
I don't know anything about it other than what I just said, but
right,
Smokeout is in Rowan County, North Carolina. And if you remember when all the Discovery Channel shit started 20 something years ago, the very first ever biker build off was Billy Lane versus
who was it?
It was Smokeout is where it was judged.
Wow.
The 24 years ago or whatever the hell it was.
So it's been going on for quite a while.
And that was not the first one. Yeah.
And then it came back.
Yeah.
So it's
in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I'm not the absolute expert, but it's kind of like the one, you know what I mean? Smoke out is where
it's a lot of fun. You know?
The hamsters were next to us this year.
Well, yeah.
I was like, we first backed our space in on the.
They were slumming it with you.
Everyone's like, oh, you're a big deal now. You're next door neighbors with the hamsters, and I was like, oh shit, I guess. And all of a sudden, they're like, no, the hamsters are slumming it because they're next to you.
Shit,
we're all drunk and stupid all night. And, you know, their bikes cost as much as my entire RV and everything inside it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Indian Larry. Yeah, it was Indian Larry.
So one of them had dropped their, like, I guess, access wristband that the hamsters have. And I picked it up and I just saw a yellow t-shirt as I was standing up. And I go, hey, one of y'all lost your wristband thing. Here you go. And the guy goes, hey, man, thank you very much. And I look up and it's Dave Perowitz.
Oh,
like,
shit.
The guy that I'm like, Aaron, why don't you drop your shit? Was like friggin' Dave Perowitz, one of like the chopper gods of all time. And here I am going like,
yeah, he's right there.
You dropped your shit on the ground, dude.
Yeah, here's your shit, dude.
And as I'm walking away, one of my buddies is like, that was Dave Perowitz. I'm like, I know. I realize it now.
That's funny.
Word garbage came out. It's fine.
Right.
It happens. You walk away going, shit.
he was so nice about it. Oh, yeah, thank you. Like, no. I'm
his
like,
daughter, too. Jesus they're just Christ. So nice. They don't, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Jody. No heirs. Jody's
and she's got land records. I mean, she's an incredible painter. Yeah. She's got a hell of a resume.
She's as good as her dad these days.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
She did what bike for Harley last year. That was a Sturgis. And
on
it's
display,
like,
yeah.
Like, any paint job says Perowitz on it. You don't let that go. You know, like, you want that rest of your life.
You want to keep that around.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Monkey, the last question I have for you guys to wrap this up is motorcycle riding and the culture, the scene, all of this, has this been something that you've been doing your entire life, or is this something that you started to do with Professional Monkey himself? What was it that made you particularly do this? Did you do that before meeting him? How did that work out?
I never rode before I met him. My family is old school. If you ever seen The Godfather, where he goes to Italy and he goes on a date with Ep, and their whole village is following behind, that was my life. I was chaperoned into my 20s. So my dad was old school Cuban. He's like, no, I've always loved them. I remember seeing pictures. I was tiny, and I remember seeing pictures of Elvis on his bike. going, wow. And then you see, you know, Terminator, you see all these Stallone on his bike and you're like, this is pretty amazing. And I happened to come across a picture of my grandmother in Cuba. It's a black and white picture of her sitting on a Harley.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that was just the coolest thing ever. But I never, I knew that it would just, you know, devastate my dad if I ever started riding. So I kind of just put that on the back burner. And then when I met him, I was like, oh, okay, So yeah, it was actually quite a few years before my father knew that I rode.
I was about to say it might have taken me a minute.
We never addressed it.
We never addressed it.
You just don't say it.
He knew, but he didn't. He's like, if I just ignore it.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, you know? Yeah. I don't want to know. Yeah.
I think it came up on a video or something. Oh, no. He saw a video of me riding, and he's like, so saw that video.
So what's about like, this?
I don't know. Okay, and he's like, you know, and I was like, I know. And it was just like, you be careful. Don't do anything stupid. No wheelies. But nothing, you know.
But your Tio Pepe had a knucklehead.
Yeah, my family had motorcycles. Wow. Yeah. They had, I mean, in Cuba, the funny thing is there's this urban legend that, you know, Harleys were being shipped to Cuba, and the police force in Havana had all these Harleys. And then when the government changed, supposedly they buried a couple hundred Harleys in this big pit because they're like, we're not going to take this American bike here. So the rumor is that somewhere in Cuba, there are all these Harleys buried somewhere.
And do the math. They're going to be pans or something. Yeah, they're going to be buried in Cuba.
Hold on. Where's my plane ticket? I'll go. It's fine.
I've always wanted to do it, but I never really had. And I'm, you know, it sounds corny, but I was lucky that he was very, not every guy's okay with this old lady riding.
You're right.
And okay with sharing that experience.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, it's the last male domain, right? Guys want to ride their bikes and hang out with chicks and they'll do all this stuff at Sturgis and whatever. But, you know, I was very lucky that he's like, come along, let's have some fun together. And we did. And it's awesome. And I don't mind him going, you know, obviously he'd go alone. I could care less.
Right.
He had a good time, but it's just great to be able to share in that. So he has his days alone. And then I go and like this last trip, I just rode up to Daytona with some friends on my own and while he was out of the country. And we're like,
she puts on more miles than I do anymore because I got to pull the goddamn camper everywhere.
Because I don't know how to ride the camper.
I'm pulling the truck with the bike in it and all the tools and shit for us to stay in this thing. Yeah. We get to, she flies into, to where'd you, Sioux Falls this year?
Sioux Falls.
She flew into Sioux Falls this year and I pick her up and I've got the chopper and both baggers in the RV and I'm driving along down the highway. We got 30 miles down the road. She's like, yeah, pull over. We pull over and she unloads her bike. So here I am literally driving down the highway alone with her like going by me like.
I didn't flip you off once.
You liar. I think I have a photograph.
No.
It wasn't once. It was four times.
I was going to a kid, and it may have looked that way, but it was not.
It was one of these.
It's a great time, and I love it, and I love, you know, the people we've got to meet and all the fun we have, and every bike, because, I mean, you know, every bike is a different experience. You ride the Vikla, no windshield or the crossbones, you know, it's just a very different experience from riding a dresser. So just nice to have that and to be able to share that together. So it's a great time. I love it.
Part of it, there's a practical piece of that too, because when she first said she wanted her own, we have she's 11 now, but we have a child. And I actually thought the chances of us going down, both bikes going down versus both of us on one bike. I actually thought of it as sort of a practical, you know,
you're actually the first person to ever put it that way. And I know exactly what you're getting at. You know, if you have you and your old lady, let's say on the back of the bike, she's on the back of the bike with you. You go down, obviously you both hit, you know, you both go down, you know, you're both going to feel it. But if you're both on separate bikes, let's say it's only you that goes down, she's still up and safe. And I understand what you're getting at by that. That's a very interesting concept because I think we always kind of flip it to the negative rather than maybe the positive.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's true because that's one of the ways that Hollywood looks at it. Like that's one of the reasons why, I mean, our youngest is 20. So I wasn't on a bike with him for a long time because we had the kids at home. We rode on the bike together. We did not have two because when he started riding, it was not a thing for women to be on the bike by themselves.
Right. Only on the back. For
only on the back. And yeah. He still has that mentality.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Like 100%. So yeah, I could sit here, beg, plead, and everything else. I'm like, come on, we can even go easy. I'll get a trike. It's fine. I try. It ain't working in my favor. Yeah. It's not. Because
I don't want a damn trike in my house.
Yeah, right.
You need one.
Yeah, it's no secret that I know that when we're riding together, and we're years riding, right? And still, I mean, he's been riding so much longer than I have, but I know he worries because when I ride around by myself, I know he's like, is she okay? He's trying to text me when you're there, text me on your back. Why are you going 90? You should be going, why are you going so fast? Slow down.
I would imagine that's natural. You know, I would be doing the same thing if my old lady were riding. I would do the same exact thing, you know, for sure.
So it's still very stressful for him, but at the same and for me too, I see him riding, and I'm sometimes when I have the little one, I go, okay, you know, he'll ride. I have the little one in the cage, and just being behind him, I'm panicked. Like I'm running block. Like nobody get near him.
She does.
I do that too.
Oh yeah.
I do that too.
Right? You're like, nobody get near my husband. We're gonna have
protective as all hell, you know.
Yeah. I do that
the hell away.
When we went up to Tomahawk, I was being the blocker behind Hollywood like the whole ride. I'm like, nobody cut in front of me and get between us because I will hit you. I mean, it's just it comes natural. You just do it.
You want to be protective. So I know it's stressful for him, but at the same time, it's still, when we look at it that way, it's still safer in some ways than if we were to ride together. So
true. I never really thought of it that way. You kind of opened my mind to that.
Something to think about, Chinadoll, and even Mike, if you get on a plane in February, is CSSTL in St. Louis, Cycle Showcase St. Louis.
I've been watching that go by in the thing. They're all like, Hollywood and China.
Yeah, you all need to be there.
February.
Well, I'm definitely one to hop on a plane to just attend to do something. I'm that guy. So anytime if there's something badass going on, I'll show up.
And it's February in St. Louis. It's not exactly riding weather. So it's one of those things where it's like, get on a plane. No one's going to judge you. The bikes that you're going to see are in a room on platform. These are all works of art, kind of like that level of.
That's cool.
Trailer queens. Well, not really, but some of them are because.
But they're showroom quality bikes.
They're show bikes. You know, that's what they are. But it's a good time. Like we have a lot of fun around that event. So
that's something that I'd totally be willing to do for sure.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, no, I sincerely want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for you guys coming, taking in your time out of your busy schedule to make this happen. I'm a big fan of you guys, and I just, you know, I'm always looking forward to your more and more of these, you know, next videos and more content that you bring out. I'm definitely going to be interested in the build, whatever you decide to do. Very excited to watch, you know, how that all comes out. And again, thank you guys so much for taking the time to be here.
Anytime. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely catch you guys on the flip side. Appreciate you. And we'll get you guys here on the very next one, you know, here soon. We'll get you guys. I'll keep in contact with you guys because you guys are awesome people. So I appreciate you guys again.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So Chinadoll.
Yeah.
Chinadoll. How did you feel about that? You know, you got Professional Monkey, the man of the man. And his beautiful wife, right? So how cool was that?
I wasn't the eye candy earlier. Come on now.
Right. No. So how was it? You know, you actually got to, you know, because usually
you're cute, but
most of the time we kind of deal with like the men aspect of like all these talks, right? And it's very rare that we really get to talk about the women's side of stuff. So I think it's really cool that you are able to ask a few questions and get, you know, those type of perspectives.
And I'm going to go take Hollywood's bike apart. Yeah.
And you know, you just leave it. You know what? That would be the best, most viral TikTok in the world is if you just film yourself going, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to change this. And then the whole next scene is just
somebody said in the chat, use my hubcaps from my car and put them on his bike.
Yeah, exactly. See, and then the next scene should just be the entire bike on the fucking ground, just all laid out in pieces.
And be like, I don't know.
And you're like going, I wish I knew what I was doing here, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, that would be a very, very good video. But he would
slow kill me.
Oh, totally. I know.
I'd be like, why did you pick my bike? Marcos is here.
But I would tell you to film his reaction, though. You know,
oh, God. I'd be chased around the yard.
Yeah. Well, that's the viral part. That's the viral part. You got.
I'd have all those parts being thrown at me.
That's right. So yeah. So
I was trying to clean the garage.
So I hope that you actually got to enjoy yourself as well, Charlie.
I did. It was fun.
Because it
makes me throw some good things towards Hollywood to maybe getting out to Sturgis, you know, the week before instead of the week of.
Exactly. We can make it happen.
There's a lot of people talking about things going on. Like, I had no idea about the thing in, you know, St. Louis, which is literally like only 4 hours north.
Right.
Like, it's not like it's far.
Yeah. For you guys, it's nothing. And actually, I'm going to be flying out there in July in Michigan. And I for this big bike fest. And I noticed that it's only 4.5 hours away from you guys. And I'm like, oh my God, like, there's no way I'm going to attend this event. You know what I mean? You guys have definitely.
Well, then you got to let us know. So exactly. Maybe we can join you. If Hollywood's got to work, I can come get you.
You can come pick me up from the airport. And then I'm just playing.
Me and Mike, you're going to hang out.
Yeah, that's right. So, guys, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in and hanging out with your, you know, well, I would say boys, but ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you guys sincerely. The guys, everybody in the side chat, shout out to every single one of you guys. Also, guys, if you guys didn't know that every donation that the channel gets over here on Insane Wheels, every donation, that every super chat specifically is going to a channel tattoo, guys. So every single super chat goes to a channel tattoo. And then also, you guys, if you ever want to support the channel financially, you guys can always hit the Cash App at Ball Valve. Appreciate you guys. It's at the pinned comment. Much love and respect to every single person out here. And we'll see you guys on the absolute flip side.